Hey Potters, welcome to episode 219 of CrossPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woo!
We have 4 episodes left until the season ends.
Of this season. Of this season. Not of the podcast.
I want to point out,
We're not disbanding.
No, we got plenty left
Thank
to do.
You.
We ain't disbanding. No, it's just funny because I typed that up the other day and posted it on our social media. And I was like, 1, what the heck happened to this year? Where did it go? 2, thank goodness it's almost over because 2020 has been awful.
So where did this year go? In the dumpster.
In the dumpster that was set on fire, in which we dug another pit for it, set that on fire, and then we chucked it into a volcano, and that's on fire.
Actually, we haven't done it into the volcano yet, but I think we need to.
We're at that point. If it's not already in the volcano,
it's like the One Ring, and it needs 2020 needs to be unmade. It needs to go into the fires of Mount Doom.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. We'll send Frodo on the quest. I'm sure he's up for it.
I volunteer as tribute. I will go put 2020 in the fires of Mount Doom for you.
You have my bow.
Woohoo!
Oh, goodness. We're silly.
We are nuts, but you know what? This is the only way that you really get to survive 2020 with any sort of sanity. Not claiming that we have much left, but we have some, because you need a little bit to be able to work on cosplay.
Yeah, just a little.
Not a lot, just, you know.
Just a little.
Enough common sense to kind of pick yourself up off the ground after you've, lit something on fire, pinned your hand in something, blood, sweat, and tears on the costume. Yeah.
Please keep all of it off the nice fabric, though.
You know, I went to the store today to procure foodstuffs for the next week, and I did notice that they had not only restocked their fabric section, which has been pretty threadbare since the beginning of COVID, because everybody's been making masks, and now I noted that they have a sew-your-own-mask kit.
Yeah, those are pretty common now.
Normally, I've been seeing the pre-made masks that come like 2 or 5 in a pack, and they have the little end cap displays of them. This is the first time I've actually seen a kit.
That's
where it's
been
like, here, here's instruction.
That's been the hot commodity that I've seen, especially on Etsy and other websites similar to that, where it's like they've got the pre-made mask, but they also have the kit. So that way they give you like 2 or 3 different fabric selections, the instructions on how to do it, the different types of elastic. So it's been like, it's a thing. The branded masks are really becoming huge. It's funny, even looking on Twitter and watching certain things that I watch or networks or theme parks, they have giveaways of themed masks, and you're like, this is the era we live in now. Alrighty then.
I have to wonder if companies like Spoonflower are just doing massive amounts of business for custom fabrics various masks.
Oh yeah. I know many friends who have been doing that so they can keep going with their custom masks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I noticed Simplicity now has a mask pattern out.
Yep.
It's part of their fall collection, which they finally came out with.
It's a sign of the times, man.
In fact, that is pretty much my cosplay update. Is I wanted to just like take 2 minutes to say thank you to McCall and Simplicity for finally coming out with the fall collection so I could see what costumes were going to be not popular but available for this year. I do like getting inspo from like whatever is current, even if I don't buy the pattern or even make it myself. Sometimes it's nice to just kind of look at how different pieces are assembled together to get a certain look. Because it's like, hey, I could totally use that for this cosplay that I've been working on and modify my pattern like this. I did notice that there is no theme to this year's costumes.
No, there really isn't. And I think it's a lot of it is because of just how random everything is this year.
They've gone back to classics.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even really a theme per se, just because there's no relationship between the different costumes. Like a skeleton or a vampire or a pumpkin or all these different things. Like there's no relation between them whatsoever, except that they were all the things that your parents dressed you up as children. So that surprised me a little. I did see another set of Hocus Pocus patterns, which made my heart happy.
Yay. That's good.
Yes. And that was really the only thing that stood out this year. A lot of the other things that I saw that are coming out in terms of costumes are actually more of like character accessories, like ponchos or scarves, or I guess you'd call them messenger bags or little backpacks, mini
Sure.
backpack, that sort of thing, that are themed like a character, but there are very few actual character costumes. But that it makes my heart happy. I did see that, Halloween has replaced all of the back to school stuff on the shelves too.
Yeah, well, it's about that time of year, so that makes sense.
Yep, post Labor Day. Unfortunately, I did not work on cosplay for the last 2 weeks because this last 2 weeks was actually the hardest 2 weeks I've gone through this year, and I just needed a break. I had to disconnect from everything. I channeled my inner Bob Ross again. This is not a finished painting. I'm actually still working on it, but thankfully it's dry. But that's what I've been doing is I've just unplugged. I have been painting. I have been teaching myself new languages. I have been crocheting. And what was the other thing I did? Oh, I went back to doing Sudoku.
Oh, yay, Sudoku is always fun. I enjoy doing that. Just every now and then. Good way to keep the brain going.
Yes, I do it at night as kind of a way of keeping my brain fit and shape. And still doing P90X. I have so much respect for people who are athletes now. It is so
It's
hard
hard. It's hard to
to
maintain.
push yourself. Well, not just to maintain, but just to get there because you really have to work out every day.
Yes.
And by the time you finish a set of exercises and you push yourself, you're so sore and tired the next morning that you're like, I don't know if I can do this.
A lot of effort, man.
It is, but I think that it will definitely kind of help me. So I'm going to keep doing it, hopefully not to the point of injury.
Yeah, no, don't do that. That's a bad call.
It's not purposeful. Like I'm trying to watch myself and pace myself. I don't push too hard, but I am pushing, and I know that I'm definitely smaller and I'm less hungry,
Good.
which is a good thing. I've somehow lost my craving for ice cream, which was actually astonishing. Which is good because I still have all my old cosplays that I may or may not still fit into.
Whereas when you live dairy-free, you don't have those cravings.
We'll find out, whether or not we have actual in-person conventions next year. We may have to pull some of those out of the closet and see if I still fit.
There you go.
Your turn for cosplay today.
So, as I was kind of doing this off screen before I pulled this on because this ran into a little mishap with my dog thing, you know. So, you know how it is, pets, that happens. I've actually pulled out a couple of things to start working on some old stuff and just kind of revamping and restyling, and one of them is my Snow White wig, which was way too long. I'm fully aware that it was way too long. It was in dire need of a cut for quite some time, but also a cut and a very nice recurl. And I'm really happy with how the curls came out. But yeah, it had a little bit of a mishap with the puppy, so I'm gonna have to restyle the bangs just a smidge. That's okay. Stuff happens. It had a very nice Disney floop with them. And then it fell on the floor and the floop went away. So we'll have to fix that later. But I am still really happy with how the curls came out because it's very Snow Whitey curls. I'm very, very pleased with that.
It looks really good.
It does look really good. I'm really happy about that. And surprisingly, it didn't take a whole lot of effort. It was just with a simple curling iron and then just letting it sit with some alligator clips on it and then let it go.
Whatever new materials they use for wigs now are fantastic.
Yeah, it's been good stuff. So yeah, I've been just working on that, just kind of touching up some old costumes because things that I knew just needed a touch up have gotten a touch up. That's what part of this is back here. That'll be explored later on. I don't want to reveal what that madness is quite yet.
It's part of a dumpster fire costume.
maybe that's what it is. I won't actually set anything on fire though, because Lord knows I
Pinned
don't.
its flames.
I do have a bunch of yellow and orange fabric too, so that could work really nicely. And I'm also thinking about trying to do more home photo shoots with some of the costumes that I haven't worn yet, that have been in dire need of photos for ages now. Because now that I have this space over here, and the only thing in the way is my dress form, I can just move the dress form out and I got a nice clean white wall. Which means it gives me plenty of opportunity to hang up some fabric or as such. This was what part of my test was. And even just use the white as a nice backdrop for whatever I want to wear. I've got the equipment already. It was just a matter of I didn't have the space for it. So I figure I'll give it a shot, see what happens, if I like it, if I don't like it. I don't know. We'll have fun with it. It's part of the experiment. We'll see. Worst comes to worst, I can just make a flower paper wall with my nice little Cricut. Have so much paper. And just feel better about myself for doing that. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Granted, if people are also looking to do outdoor photo shoots, the weather has actually
It's
been
nicer now.
really
Well,
good.
depending on what part of the country you're in.
I'm speaking here of where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, much sympathy for those out in California right now.
And Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
It no bueno. 2020 is a literal dumpster fire that needs to go into a volcano.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about burning things when things are actually burning.
Well, you know, in fairness, a lot of things were already burning.
No, maybe we need to take a little bit of the rain that we're about to get with yet another hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico. Technically, it's a tropical storm right now, but it's probably going to be a hurricane when it hits Texas.
It's hurricane season, so this is pretty normal.
We need to take a little, well, it's not normal given the number of hurricanes we have. We're actually
No.
into Greek letters now,
Yeah.
but take a little of the rain that we're going to get from that hurricane and go, chuck it over at the West Coast.
That would be nice. I'm sure they would appreciate it. I know they've got some rain in Washington sometime today or tomorrow, so I know that they're happy.
Yeah, no lightning because that makes more fire, but
Just rain. Just the
rain
rain
is okay.
clouds.
A
That's
little
all.
bit of rain. Not too much because then you get mudslides.
Right. Just a little.
Yeah. We'll take some, large rainwater containers and send it on over to the West Coast.
There we go. But yeah, that's it for my cosplay updates. Not a whole lot, but hey, you know what? This is the first time in like, what, 9 months that I actually have something that is costume related. And it's just updating stuff, but hey, that's part of the process. It's what you do as a cosplayer. Sometimes you go back and you update some things. Throw on a new belt, change out the fastenings, put in a new zipper. Call it a day, new costume.
Or at least fresh.
For some of us, it is a new costume.
Well, after a while, you gain experience, you gain knowledge of how to do things better, you have the chance to research and maybe make up your own technique for how to do something even better than what already exists. And of course, as we're all sitting here in quarantine, spamming YouTube for tutorials.
Oh Lord, yes.
Then, you also get that hands-on experience. So I fully support, taking all of that new earned knowledge and applying it to costumes you made a while ago. Because why not make it look better?
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself now that I didn't record the styling process for this wig because as I was searching online trying to figure out, okay, is there a better way for me to be doing this? I couldn't find anything.
That's surprising.
It was really, really surprising. And I even went as far as saying specific character wig, because there's got to be something for a specific character. Nope. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess my method worked last time. Let's just do that now.
Maybe you should go look at the cosplay.com board.
You know, what's funny is I did go over there. I didn't find anything that was useful.
For those who don't know what cosplay.com was, Google it.
Google it. It still
It's
exists.
safe. It's safe.
Cosplay.com is still a thing. It's still out there. I think you're still selling things. I don't know.
That I have no idea.
We're gonna check right now.
I don't even know if my account still exists.
Everyone's account still exists, I know, because I was able to log into mine. Let's see. Doesn't look like they have a store anymore, but they definitely still have all their advertising. Wow.
Of course they do.
Copyright 2002 to 2020. It's been almost 20 years of Coscom.
Wow.
There you go, kids.
I feel old.
I think we all do.
That means I joined Coscom not long after it actually premiered.
You've been cosplaying for longer than that, too.
A long... Yes, I have. I've been cosplaying since before Coscom actually debuted.
Yep.
A long time.
A real long time. Yeah. We're
but not as long as some people, because cosplay is actually an older hobby than the 90s.
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, it traces itself way back to, like, the 40s and 50s, surprisingly, so... We have an entire cosplay history panel that's up on our website, by the way, and on YouTube, so you're more than welcome to look that up, because it gives you a nice, cool, interesting history about cosplay.
Yes, please. And speaking of conventions and convention content...
Yeah, it seems like you unintentionally hit on all of our topics, or maybe you intentionally did it, I don't know. You are smart like that.
A little bit.
But yeah, we are going to talk about the future of conventions post-COVID. What should we expect? What should we ask for? Will more content go online? How are things going to change? Or is anything going to change once we can, quote-unquote, get back to normal? Because I have seen it not only here in the U.S., where they shouldn't be having conventions, but unfortunately some are still trying to hold conventions, but especially overseas in China and in other countries where they have had COVID and it's now under control and they've got things back to normal, their normal has been reducing capacity, requiring temperature checks, different types of security, face masks are required. I mean, there's a myriad of rules that they are now incorporating to ensure everybody is safe. And is this something that we here in the US are going to adopt, or is it just going to be nada? Or how's it going to change at all? I mean, I think it's an interesting topic to talk about because of the way things are. Because we know at this point, the chances of us having any conventions at all until maybe like March or April next year are probably pretty slim because we can't get our act together.
To be fair, some places, like Turnfest, are still having conventions.
Mm.
So there are still some that are choosing to go on with... Different requirements.
So it'll be interesting. And I also wanted to bring it up too, because scientific studies have been coming out, and actual scientific studies, not just some random mumbo jumbo stuff, but people from valued institutions and from the Journal of Medicine have been showing, you know, not only will this help people over time if we already put these practices in place and help reduce potential of spreading viruses and diseases, but there is the possibility of another pandemic coming along, whether that's in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. If we put these practices into place now, we can save more lives. So it's just kind of that mindset of being careful and mindful of everybody's safety. And that's definitely something we want to extend into the convention scene, where we are gathering thousands, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people into one tiny little area. We are a petri dish in a very literal sense. And we got to proceed carefully so everybody is safe and healthy.
I mean, if you think about conventions in the past, and I've been on my soapbox about this many a time,
mm-hmm.
You know that there are already people who don't shower, who don't eat properly, who don't sleep properly.
They show up sick anyway.
Everything. They show up sick, they get sick at the convention and then go out on the convention floor. So we already have a lot of these problems. And this is why, you know, con crud or con plague is a thing that is pretty widely known by anybody who is somewhat a veteran convention goer.
Mm-hmm.
We know all this stuff. This is why people tend to develop routines like taking vitamin C 2 weeks before the convention, stocking up on hand sanitizer, bringing uber healthy food and cooking it in your hotel room, that sort of thing. So, you know, there are reasons for these sorts of things, and now you're adding not only pandemic on top of it, but now we're getting into the normal flu season, which is just going to add on top of all of the other problems. So, you know, all of the things that we did before, like telling you the 6-2-1 rule, you know, shower, bathe, wash yourself, don't use really heavily scented sprays and such for body, especially with COVID being a respiratory disease. You don't want to aggravate any existing problems. You know, taking good care of yourself. All those things are doubly important now.
So I guess for us, what would we like to see conventions do to try to make it more safe in the coming year?
Honestly, and this is probably going to be a somewhat unpopular opinion, but I'm not sorry to have it. I don't think they should hold the convention at all in person.
I 100% agree with you.
I think it needs to be online. And the reason for it is actually really straightforward, and this is why I'm not attending Texas RenFest this year, is because if you don't wear a mask and you get COVID, it doesn't only affect you. You know, a lot of the controversy that's going on with COVID and all the restrictions is people say, I don't like being told what to do. I should have the right to choose what I do. The consequences are on me. That's not true with COVID. It doesn't only affect you. You become a carrier for other people. So even when we have this discussion and people are saying, you know, young people don't get sick, you shouldn't shut anything down, just let all the healthy people go and get herd immunity and then just protect the sick people. Well, all of those healthy people can become asymptomatic carriers and then they take it home to the sick people. So unless you're going to literally completely isolate people who are at risk in a bubble, which if you've never heard of Bubble Boy, go look it up. It's actually a thing.
Yeah.
You'd basically have to make bubble people out of those who are at risk and literally restrict them from any human or airborne contact at all. That's not realistic. You have family members. You're going to come in contact with other people. Even if you do the whole, like, have your groceries delivered at your house thing, somebody touched those groceries. Somebody had to make that food. There's no way to avoid all contact with COVID. And this is why I don't think they should be having conventions in person. You can take all the precautions in the world that we're going to tell you to do, like wearing the mask, sanitizing. You can have them disinfect the entire convention center every single night for 24 hours. You can have, you know, virus-killing machines at every entrance to the convention center. That's not going to stop COVID from spreading to somebody who was at risk beforehand. Thus, you know, my desire for them is just don't. Until we have a proven vaccine that works and helps inoculate those most at risk. If you save the people who are most likely to die or have complications from it first, then we can talk about the whole herd immunity thing and having healthy people go out and all that other stuff. But you have to stop the spread of it first. And I don't think we have enough of a handle on it in the world right now. I want to say the last I had heard on BBC, I think it was night before last, the world has passed 30 million cases. 30 million people have had this disease. I don't think that means it's under control.
No.
Sorry.
And especially since now that they're finding so many who did have it and have quote unquote recovered from it are having long lasting symptoms. They're having They're having breathing problems. They're having stomach issues. They're having a variety of issues that came with COVID and they're still experiencing the symptoms, even though they technically no longer have it.
I've even seen some reports, you know, I don't know if they're accurate or not because I haven't seen corroborating information, but it may even cause inflammation of the brain.
Yeah.
That can have lifelong effects.
Yeah, it can.
Is it really worth, like, you having fun at a convention and then you coming down with that and having lifelong damage, or worse, carrying it to a family member and giving them lifelong damage because you wanted to go to a convention. I realize that every person has to make their own decisions and accept their own consequences, but I don't know if I could live with the guilt of that if I brought it home to a family member and it's not worth my fun.
So I know some people will also, you're all good, because I'm in the same boat too. I agree 100%. And I know some people will argue, well, then how is the convention supposed to survive if they have to do it online? You know, they're not going to make money that way. Well, I know that this year people have been doing it online almost kind of as a way of a test run. They haven't been charging for anything. But I have seen other conventions do it online, request a small payment for it, and do it successfully. BlizzCon is a fantastic example because there was only so many people that they let into that convention center. Thank goodness, because, man, it's still really packed when I went. But you could buy a virtual ticket. The virtual ticket gave you the same access that you would get if you were at the show. You couldn't necessarily play the demos that were there. That was fine. But it was for a fraction of the price because you're not having to go out there. You're not paying for all these extra things. You got access to their exclusive merch store. You got to see the panels. You got to sit on a Q&A. I mean, you basically got to do all the things from the comfort of your home for a smaller fee. And it's just content exclusive to those who paid for that virtual ticket. Other conventions can easily do a very similar setup and find a way to recoup some of those funds so that way they can hold the content while from the safety of being virtual and remote. It's totally doable.
I know that, there are some issues sometimes with doing content that is solely online. And I say that as somebody who is currently watching PAX Online, which is now a 9-day convention, 24/7 entirely online for the first time. PAX has never gone fully online.
Mm-hmm.
All of their content is pre-recorded this year. And I know part of that is to support the 24/7 schedule, because they wouldn't necessarily be able to get content producers that could actually be online during all the different times of day.
DragonCon did the same thing too, because they did 24/4 content, but they had some content pre-recorded to fill in some of those early morning hours.
And I understand that that does take a little bit away from the convention experience, because it's a different sort of experience to watch something that is pre-recorded and not be able to engage in real time, either with the panelists or with moderators who are basically watching the panel. But at the same time, you can actually sometimes get better produced content because it is pre-recorded, because you have all of the techniques in post-production available to you. You don't have to worry about technical mishaps that always happen during live presentations.
Yep.
I will tell you, not only from witnessing them, but from experience. No matter what oblations you make to the live demo gods, something will go wrong.
Something will break.
Pre-recording solves that, and it also allows you to do things like insert things after the presentation. Like if you have PowerPoint slides, if you have pictures you want to show, if you have music you want to insert, you can do all of these things because it is pre-recorded. You don't have to worry about mismatches in the hardware that you have on site at the con, or even if you have hardware present at all at the con.
I will say the biggest blessing for when I was watching Dragon Con is, especially for like the Q&A panels, you didn't have people standing at the microphone for 30 minutes giving their life story before they ask their question. They just have the questions ready to go, and they answered. I had seen the celebrities answer more questions doing these type of pre-recorded panels than I had ever experienced live, and it was so dang nice. It was like
a
blessing. Oh my god. It was so much better, and I want more of that, please.
The moderators also love it because then you get to pre-screen the questions and make sure that no one's going to troll the panel or pull stupid stuff that should not happen at conventions, but you know, people want to be juvenile.
It happens all the time, unfortunately, which is part of the problem.
You can also like do minor things like censoring swear words, especially because when you are at a convention physically, you can actually bar entrance to minors by having a driver's license check or an ID check. You can't do that online. You can't bar minors from watching any of your content. They will find a way around your checks.
Yeah,
by the way.
You can do the age restriction thing, but I mean, they're going to bypass it.
Yeah, they're going to get around it.
Basically, it's just there as a legal just in case. So you can say, hey, I did my due diligence. So if somebody bypasses it, that's not on us.
Right. So moderators can pre-censor the panels to make them all family friendly in advance. That way you don't have to worry about random real-time mishaps again, because, you know, sometimes people say things they did not intend to say.
Yeah.
So in all, it kind of gives a better control.
It does. It really does.
And while that may be not quite as desirable as an audience member, it's really desirable as a staff member.
Good Lord, yes.
And to an extent, like, it does make some things like Q&As better for audience.
There's a different experience, but it's also kind of a fun experience. I think it definitely, in that type of situation, it's a much more streamlined experience, and you get so much more out of it. So much more than I would have ever experienced out of it. So I greatly appreciate it. I mean, it does suck not being there in person, absolutely. I'm still happy for the online content, not gonna lie. I want more of it.
I'm super excited. I know that one thing I would like conventions to be able to do this coming year, because I suspect that we'll still be mostly virtual in early 2021, is I would love for conventions, at least the type that we attend, to be able to digitize the Dealer's Den and Artist Alley experience, so that instead of simply having a list of vendors on their site and saying, go to their website, go shop over there with them. It's a little easier when you have everything in one place, like you would in person at a Dealer's Den. You can walk around, browse their merch, you know, have a little running slideshow that just shows different pictures of their products, have everything listed out with prices, including tax, so that if your state charges it, you don't have to worry about doing any of those calculations. You can do third-party checkout. Like, that isn't really the point of this. I don't really care about the commerce side. I just like being able to browse what's there without having to visit each individual merchant's site and then go look for something that I may not necessarily know that I want at the time, especially for those who browse for, like, birthday gifts for people. I have no idea what I'm going to get this person. Inspiration will strike me when I see it lying on their counter and I go, oh, I think my friend might actually like this. It's that kind of window shopping experience. And I know that some business and commercial entities already have programs that do this. They'll have, like, vendor areas. I want comic conventions to do the same thing.
Yeah, PAX,
because I feel like they've got a lot to offer.
Yeah. PAX kind of has something close to that, not quite. And I thought it was actually really neat that they did this, is that they have a map of their virtual expo hall, and it's laid out very similar to how they would have their PAX expo hall. So you can actually see, like, the booths, and it's like, here's this booth and this booth and this booth. And if you click on the booth name, it takes you directly to a page that's all about them, what their wares are, what games they're demoing. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool. It would be neat if they took it one step further, and instead of having to click on it, if you could hover over it, it popped up with information about what that booth is before you click on it. I think if they took that route, that would have been great. But just even having that fun little map, I was like, oh yeah, this is a PAX map. I thought that was nice.
That's exactly what I was going for. That kind of experience. And PAX was the example I had in mind when I thought about it, because they've got a really good start.
Yes.
I think they could definitely keep developing it and then potentially license that to other conventions, because I know that they wrote their own software. They didn't use anything off the shelf. They built it.
Yeah.
So I think that would be nice to have, because that's one of the things I do enjoy at in-person conventions, is just kind of window shopping in the Dealer's Den.
That's kind of part of the fun of it. And for me, depending on the convention, like Fanime in particular, I love the Artist Alley at Fanime. It was one of my favorite places to walk around through, and it is literally in just a giant hangar, but it is just rows and rows of hundreds of artists, and you just find the most random cool things that way. And it'd be nice to be able to support some of those artists, but it's hard to see all their wares when it's just the name of their shop and a web link. And it's like, okay, well, what do they sell? I don't know.
Exactly. I had the hardest time with that when I think it was Scarborough said that they were canceling their season this year, Scarborough Renaissance Festival, for those who don't know. And they're like, well, we're going to promote each of our vendors on our social media, which is great. You promote their name and point me to their website. Tell me what they sell.
Just give me a... It doesn't even need to be a full sentence. It can be just like 10 words of blah, blah, blah. Done.
Heck, they can even put a bullet list. Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Like dresses, wigs, sarongs. Fine. Cool. I got it.
Clothing. Accessories. Yeah. Home decor. Give me a category.
Yard art.
So I know what kind of thing. Yeah. Exactly. You know, you don't have to have a full product list,
no.
But give me an idea of what this vendor has so that I know if this is the kind of thing that I'm already in the market for. Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be really nice.
I think one of the things that they could potentially implement with digital cons, and I know that this is something that Fan Expo does, is they have separate actor-based panels where you have to buy separate tickets for them, but they have like additional content, like there's extra detailed content, or it's a panel where they're talking about their next project that is, you know, NDA kind of things where only the people in the panel get to hear about it, or it's a special Q&A, that sort of thing. I think that conventions could potentially like charge a little extra to have those more intimate settings. And, you know, there are ways that they could set up meeting rooms. I mean, I know Discord does. Just say, okay, here's a password. Each person has a one-time use password to get into this room after you pay your fee. And then you just have a list and say, okay, only these 30 people are allowed in this room. And that makes it really kind of intimate and you get your money's worth. But that also gives, again, staff a little bit more control over, you know, what goes into the chat and how people can communicate with their fans and their idols, and keep everything not only running smoothly, but civil and polite. I can't even really think of the right word, but like it makes sure everybody's comfortable.
Yeah.
You're not going to ask them anything that they're not allowed to talk about or that makes them feel uncomfortable.
Dragon Con did definitely do that. They offered a one-on-one 2-minute session with X number of guests, and they had you at a set time slot. And what they basically did was they gave you a link to a Zoom meeting, and it was just you, and you had that one link, and it was you and the guest, and you had your 2 minutes together. And then that was it. And then the guest moved on to the next person under a different link. So that's basically how they set it up. And I almost signed up for one of them. I almost did, because it was like, this might be my one chance to talk to this person. And it's a one-on-one time, not in a convention hall where there's hundreds of other people around me. And my stuff might be embarrassing to ask, or maybe that they just won't be able to hear me, or maybe they're trying to get through the line so quickly and they're signing things that there's no time to actually hold a conversation. But in 2 minutes, I can get a question out.
And there's usually distractions everywhere when you're
doing
it in a convention hall. No matter where you go in the convention hall, there's just stuff everywhere.
Having stood in those lines multiple times, it is very rare that you get a chance to actually like talk to the person behind the table, because usually the staff member is right next to them saying, you got to keep moving. There's just no time. Like, there's only been one time I've actually had a conversation with a guest and it was lovely. But like the rest of the time, it was just get my signature. Thank you. Bye. Move on.
You only really get to do it if that guest doesn't have a line at all.
And that's pretty rare to do that. It depends on who the guest is, how big the convention is, how big the attendees are. If it's a smaller event, you're more likely to have a lot more time.
Also, if there are no restrictions, like having to pay to have a ticket for this particular actor.
Right.
Because some conventions do actually charge a little extra for certain actors and VAs.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be nice if they expanded their online content, particularly with cosplay stuff, because so far as like an actual like show, it's been All Con, Dragon Con, and Crunchyroll Expo. I haven't seen any other convention, and I've asked people to provide me links like, hey, if you know somebody who actually ran a cosplay contest online, I would love to see it.
Entirely online.
Yeah, entirely online. And I don't mean like a social media thing where it's like, hey, post your photo and like it. It's like, no, not like that. Like an actual event.
I haven't streamed.
I haven't seen one yet. I think it's just been the three of us. So it's just like, I want to see more of it, because while It was interesting. It's been a good experience. I've learned a lot from it. But it's also been great to see a lot of the costumes up close, and it's been great to see the cosplayers get so creative in trying to create these photographs and their videos from their home and tell a different story from what they would have done on a stage setting. They have so much more at their disposal now. It's kind of cool.
One of the a couple other nice things about running the cosplay contests online, one is that I know that one of the most intimidating factors, aside from actually walking the stage for the cosplay contest, is actually being in the judging room. You do the craftsmanship judging, and you get usually it's somewhere between 1.5 minutes to 2.5 minutes
If you're lucky.
to talk about your costume to the judges. If you've never done it before, it can be very intimidating and anxiety-inducing to not only have to stand in front of a panel of judges whom you don't know usually, and have to give a presentation in a very condensed period of time and talk about everything you want to talk about, but you've also usually got all of the other contestants around you watching. And that can be incredibly just frightening if you haven't done it or if you're not accustomed to public speaking. If you do it this way, even if it's live streamed, you don't have an audience. All you have is the webcam in front of you, so it's a lot easier to be more relaxed and to get through everything. And if it's pre-recorded, that's even better because then you can actually script out what you want to say and just read it off the script.
And so far from what I've seen, everything has been pre-recorded content. And I understand why, it's because if in case there's any technical issues, if somebody has internet connection trouble, you don't have to worry about that on the day when the thing is streamed. It's all pre-recorded. The staff members just hit the play button.
And then the second thing is that with it being online, there aren't as many travel restrictions. You don't actually have to go to the con to compete. So there aren't as many restrictions on things like, can I afford to go to the con? Can I afford to stay in the hotel? Can I afford to bring my costume with me, either on the flight or in the car or ship it or wherever? You know, are there any travel restrictions to the country I'm trying to go to? International travel? Are there things like pandemics stopping me from flying to other countries? Are there things like time zone issues if you're traveling to a convention internationally? Like, are you going to be exhausted when you go to compete? All these things kind of impede people from being able to necessarily compete at the conventions that they want to for one reason or another. Or even something like, I can't get the time off for that weekend.
I have health
Well, ne
issues.
exactly. Now you have an online cosplay contest where even if it's live streamed, you might have to give maybe 2 hours time total because there aren't really any rehearsals. There's nothing to go through. You don't have to teach people how to walk the stage and all the setup and all that stuff. You basically just do your thing and go. And if recorded, it can be an even shorter period of time where basically you set aside 15 minutes, you record your little blurb, you send it off, you're done. And so most of those other restrictions don't really apply anymore. There is no travel, there's generally no cost, there's generally no health issues because you're at home, and you don't necessarily have to worry about things like time off because you don't need the whole weekend anymore. All you need is just that small block of time. And you still get to compete, and you can compete in cons that you normally wouldn't have even gone to.
It definitely opens up a lot of possibilities for those who may not feel comfortable or confident enough to want to do it at a convention, for those who don't have the stamina to do it at a convention, because let's face it, at anime cons, a cosplay contest literally takes you all day long. And when I mean literally, I mean like 8 to 12 hours all day long in your costume, which is exhausting as butt. But as I also said earlier, having it where you can do it remotely opens up so many options for creativity and storytelling. Like the content that I saw from Dragon Con and Crunchyroll, which I'm going to talk about more later in the after session because I thought they were both very interesting to watch. Seeing what people came up with when they did their videos, it was just like dramatically different from anything that I have seen from a stage contest. And it was cool and it was fun. And I want more of that because that's not something you will ever be able to see on a stage.
I will say there are also some interesting avenues for halftime shows
It's
because it's all pre-recorded,
all pre-recorded.
So you don't have to worry about hauling props or anything
Right.
with you to the con. You don't have to hire extra talent to physically come to the con where you have to pay like travel costs and hotel and stuff. You don't have to worry about necessarily additional MCs. Like you have so much more opportunity and you have so much more control over what goes into all of it. And you can actually, in some ways, produce a better experience
Yeah.
because you have more time.
You have time. You have time to actually craft something.
More time. Exactly. Just like the people who have been submitting the online cosplay contest videos have time. They can put that time and their heart and soul into these showcases of their costume. And not only are they showcasing it to the judges, who would normally get to see it up close and in person if you're in person judging anyway, but the people online all get to see the same thing the judges would see. And if you've ever been an audience member at a cosplay contest, unless you squat in the line, like to be maybe within the first, I'll say 50 people, to sit in the line, because that means you get to sit in the front, everybody else is going to see it from far away, which means they're not seeing any detail in your costume.
If you're even in the front row, you can't see most of those details. Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
I was trying to compromise a little bit.
Not the
At
type of
least.
details that you would see if you were in a judging room.
I will agree with that.
It definitely allows you to see the costumes in a way that you would never be able to see in that audience. You are seeing things up close, just as if you were a judge. It's more appreciation for the cosplays.
Yes, and as a cosplayer, you actually have more control over what's being shown anyway to the judges, because when you go into judging for craftsmanship, you want to show the favorable sides of your costume because that's what you want them to remember about your costume. So you have that extra time to kind of, I don't want to say gloss over the things you don't want them to notice, but that's effectively what it is. Plus, you know, they can't flip your seams when you're doing it online. So, you know, that's one count in your favor.
I will say though,
Unless you want to.
I would say you should definitely take photos of those seams if you've done a really nice job, because the judges will be like, "Oh, they took the time to flip their seams for me. Thanks." And they will give you buko for that. I think we need to retitle this instead of, how to be safe for conventions next year is why we should keep doing them online.
Why I hope they're still online.
Fine. But for the sake of argument, and since we're running low on time, let's talk about if they do have them in person next year. Because I think eventually it's going to happen. That they're going to have in person so that way they can keep the revenue flowing. What were the type of changes that we would like to see in order to make the environment safe? And for me, the obvious things are to have an attendance cap, and it's got to be smaller than what they were already pulling in, because we want people to have distance and be safe.
See,
Go
this is
ahead.
why I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it
It's
in
hard.
person, because, like you said, they're trying to pull in that revenue.
Yeah, it's hard.
And to do all of the things that I think we're going to ask them to do, and not only that, but also spend quite a bit of extra money for health infrastructure, let's call it. A lot of conventions aren't going to be able to do that. A lot of conventions run in the red to begin with.
I know it's not realistic for a lot of them. For some of the bigger ones, it has the possibility to work, but they need to have the staff, they need to have the cash, and they need to have the numbers to make it happen.
They can try.
They can try. I'm not saying that they're going to be successful at it, but they can try it. So my suggestions would be to reduce their attendance so that way we can make sure people are still spread apart. Hand sanitizations, which I think at this point a lot of convention centers either already have them available, which is great. And I've noticed that more hotels have been making them available in their convention centers. So that shouldn't be a problem that could be resolved by the hotel itself, which is nice. Definitely a mask requirement.
Enforceable, please.
Enforced, please. It's got to be masked.
Not a suggestion, not a recommendation. Please make it
Required.
mandatory.
It is a mandatory thing, not just for the attendees, staff members too, because staff members will slip up on that, unfortunately.
And convention center or hotel workers.
And then I don't know how feasible this is, but I've been told through and did a little bit of research on this, that these are actually fairly cheap, is you may even want to do like temperature checks. Depending on the size of your convention, could do it, could not do it. Might be easier with a smaller event, maybe not so easy at a big event, but again, depends on how many staff members you have, how much income you have to actually put towards this. And you definitely need to find some way to make markers on the floor or signs or something to do the 6 foot distancing rule.
FedEx sell signs like that. They
Yeah.
could do it. Temperature checks need to be infrared, not under the tongue.
Not under the tongue. No,
It's
no,
not
no.
sanitary.
It's just literally, it looks like a price check gun is what it looks like. And it's just like, boop, okay.
I say that because some conventions may try and, shave off a couple dollars by doing the cheaper thermometers. Like,
And that
no.
ain't gonna, no.
It's not sanitary.
Not sanitary.
I would like it very much, and I know this is dependent on the convention centers and hotels. But I would like it very much if they could install hands-free appliances in the bathrooms, because that's one of the easiest places for germs to spread, not just COVID, but germs in general. So the less touching people have to do of those surfaces, the better. It would be helpful if the food was prepackaged, because that way people can just kind of take it and go as needed, and that way there's less touchy-touchy. If it has to be food that is cooked, then fully cooked, preferably. Like, no cold food. Cook it to kill the virus. What else? I would like them to limit panel attendance and enforce social distancing when you're sitting in chairs. Like, don't have anybody adjacent in chairs. Every other chair minimum.
Yeah, either.
Preferably every, like, third chair, like two empty chairs between you.
Yeah, and if you're wondering why you would even have all the chairs in there, because if you come with like a family member, well, obviously you guys have been living with each other, so the two of you sitting together, not a big deal. But if it's like you and somebody else 3 feet away, it's like, no, you gotta keep going, two more chairs, we're good.
Plus, having all of the chairs in there kind of enforces the spacing requirement. If you don't have anything that separates two chairs, people will naturally try and scoot them
Scoot them
closer to each
together.
other, which defeats the whole social distancing requirement. So I would like that. I would also like guests to have to wear masks, even in the
Yes,
panels.
absolutely. Everybody has to wear a mask. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. That includes the guests. 100%.
I would be okay if they removed the mask or just slid it down to talk into the microphone. But if anybody uses a microphone without a mask, the microphone has to be sanitized for the next use, before anybody else uses it, because that'll help protect both parties.
You're way more forgiving than I am. I would be like, nope, mask at all times. They can hear me through it.
The reason I say that is because masks are made differently, and some masks are easier to hear through than others. And I have found that through experience that most of the time I can understand what people say. But there have been a couple of people that have either really thick N95 masks, or they have masks that have enough fabric layers that it muffles what they're saying. And it's difficult to hear them, even up close. So I would be okay if they removed it only to talk into the microphone. Like, as soon as you're done with the mic, mask back on.
And sanitize the crap out of it.
And the table that everything is sitting on.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be
I would.
sanitization and cleaning requirements for all of the staff desk or anything that's out in an open public area, something to keep it clean.
If it were possible, and I know this likely would not happen, but it's more of kind of a wish list item on my part, I would like it where every hotel room had a can of Lysol,
Yeah, that'd be nice.
so that you could sanitize like as you go in and out of the room, because you're going to be carrying like germs with you. So it would be nice to just have that as an option to just kind of keep things clean. I don't know that that's possible though, because of the shortage of Lysol.
Yeah, probably not likely.
Aside from that, I don't know that there's much else realistically that they could do.
Because a lot of it's going to come down to enforcement, making sure that the staff is fully aware of the rules and they are enforcing the rules and that they're actively ensuring that the people who are not following the rules either follow them or that they are removed from the convention, and that needs to be 100% sticking point, because I think that's where a lot of the problem is going to be, is staff enforcing and then people following the rules. As long as they do that, then it can be doable.
I think that kind of to smooth over the whole mandatory mask thing, because I know, at least from experience, when I went to the store, that there were people who just would not wear a mask.
Oh yeah, there are some people who refuse,
And
unfortunately.
I think it would be easier if the convention made like disposable masks available for purchase at a very nominal price, like $1 maybe two at the most. Because I think if it's right there, it's inexpensive, it will get them into the con. I think it would help them.
Yeah, maybe
And
more of
it
an
would
incentive.
also kind of smooth over the situation a little bit so that it's not quite as confrontational.
Yeah. But I will say, probably the number one selling thing in Artist Alley for the coming year is probably going to be custom mask. That'll be a hot item.
I'm still waiting for the character masks to start coming out. I've seen character fabrics that have like little
Oh, I've seen the
pictures of the
character
characters
masks.
on them, but I haven't actually seen like full on, like you can tell what character this is supposed to be, like one character, not a print, in other words.
I've seen a couple of them, mostly from Disney and Marvel. So they've had like Mickey Mouse, Goofy, Pluto, Donald, but then also like Iron Man. It was especially the ones that have a Black Panther. So the ones who already have like a mask
Okay.
face, but they
Like
do it
Winter
on,
Soldier kind of thing.
yeah, but they have it kind of just down here. And it's kind of like, okay, I see what you're doing. I think I've seen Deadpool too. But it
I should
makes
have
sense. It
known.
works. It
It does.
works. See, Wayrod has an Optimus Prime one, which I think he mentioned before, like 2 weeks ago, last episode.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it. That's
Yeah,
why
we
I
need to
said
see
I'm waiting
it.
to see it.
Share it with us on our social media. I made
I'm
one
waiting
for
to
the
see
slime
these
from
in the
Dragon
wild.
Quest.
Now I want to go make a character.
It's fun and it's relatively easy, surprisingly. You just gotta figure out what character you want.
Exactly.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I just may end up being like generic ninja.
Nothing wrong with that. Ninja Turtle.
Or a shredder. Yeah,
Or
we were on the
Shredder.
same wavelength.
I'm okay with that. Oh god, now I should put on my April costume and have a Shredder mask.
Wow.
Like this. I like this plan a lot.
I think my brain broke.
That's okay. It's allowed to break. There it goes.
No, of course, if you want to show us your favorite character mask, feel free to post it on any of our social media. Or, if you want to show us your plans for making a Ghost Rider mask, because we have to tie everything back to Nick Cage,
Hell yeah.
please feel free to post this on any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
In the corner, right by Amber's name. That has not moved at all. There you go.
Or you can email us a family-friendly photo podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, please stay safe out there, stay healthy, keep wearing those masks. Happy cosplaying. We will see you guys next time in episode 220. Later, everybody.
Bye.